Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Dream Theme Thursday. It is Thursday already. We are already past the middle of April. Time's just going on, and I have to tell you, I'm getting excited about the summit. I usually forget to talk about things, but now it's like really close, and Susan is already here in her travels. She planned to come here at this time, and she's really excited, and she can't wait, so she's getting me excited about it, and it's interesting because I kind of localized it. I just did it 2 days. I wanted to build a local audience, and everyone who's asked me to come to their city, I've told them, you know, put 30 to 50 people together and I'll come. And it's been, what a crazy response. I threw that out there and boom, you know, there's like Sydney, Australia, and there's, you know, different places. Chicago is one of them where I'm from. So that would be really cool. I'll probably know people, maybe. I always think I know more people than I do when I go, but it would be so cool. So, man, you know, ask and you shall receive. And I just thought that would be a way I could go, because if I could afford to go, I will go and build that way. But wow. So anyway, thank you guys for your response. And it is on our website. And we even like took a leap and we took a sponsored ad in Facebook. So let's see what happens. And I can't wait to see everybody there. So anyway, thank you so much about the summit and even having a summit and having people come and really dig in. And this one's a digger in herb, so we'll see how that works out. So today I have a first dream, and let me make sure it's not meant. Okay, it's not meant to be anonymous because, yeah, that happens. Okay, so I got a dream. It's from Eliana, and she says, good morning, Nadia. If time, I have a dream that became a vision, and I was hoping, if time, to get your thoughts. I was dreaming that I was underwater, but I could breathe. I could see the amazing sun through the water's surface. It was stunning. I saw ever so slight ripples that showed me it was water. Then I tilted my head back and saw a naked body in a fetal position. I tilted back further, and there were so many bodies, I lost count. It freaked me out a bit, but I opened my eyes and the water was gone, but I continued to see the bodies everywhere up on the ceiling and yelled for them to go, and they disappeared. I was surprised I didn't wake up my son. It was about 3:30 a.m. or so. Oh, wow, so you yelled, like, for real. The next day, my dream had the above water perspective. I saw a man in a robe kicking big dirt up, and he wanted me to see he was by a pool of water. I saw the tops of bodies there, and I wasn't scared. I just didn't know what it meant. I woke up in the middle of the night and went back to sleep. I would love your thoughts on this. Much love your way, Eliana. So this was like a two-parter. You were so, you know, affected by the first night that you actually had a dream the second night. And it was like a progression that, you know, nothing is as it seems. And the funny part is you were in water and you didn't even know, because when we come, when we're born, we're in water and we're fine. We're in a sack filled with fluid and we survive. Once we come out of that sack filled with fluid, we no longer can survive in a fluid environment. We cannot survive underwater without equipment and ways to breathe. But really think about that. Before any of us came here, we lived in water. Sometimes, you know, I love to look at penguins, because penguins, they can, you know, swim and be underwater and be fine, and then they can come out and they're fine. They can kind of do both, and there's quite a few animals that can survive in both. You know, turtles can do that. They can just, you know, be underwater forever, and then they can come out and crawl around, and, you know, there's different animals that are doing both. But the bigger thing is that you were there, but the fact that you saw it in a fetal position was that it could, I use another tab and I can hear it now. Okay, good. Francis was having trouble getting into the show. I couldn't get into the show today, and thank God I kept trying. I had just put a note. I can't call and I can't get in. And then I kept trying, and once I tried, I just deleted the comment. We were fine. So thank you guys for trying. Sometimes Blog Talk is a little temperamental. So, but going back to the dream, the fact that you saw, first you were underwater, and then you saw a body in fetal position, and it was naked. It's because it's like going back before birth. And then you've seen a bunch of bodies, and I don't know if all the bodies were in a fetal position or just the one that you saw, but it was almost like going back to the beginning. And when we see things like this that really shock us and, you know, force us to go from dreaming to actually waking up and you remember the dream, it's just like somebody ringing a bell. A wake-up call. And for whatever reason, it's like, see what's in front of you. Decide what's dead and gone. And decide what's still alive in your life. Because it took you back almost to the beginning of when we could breathe underwater, to your beginning here. Because the next day you had better perspective. You were above water. You saw a man in a robe kicking dirt. You saw the tops of bodies. You were above it. You were past it. You were gone. You were grown past it. And you weren't scared. But in the first dream, you were. And that's just saying that there's like these impending decisions for you to make. And they're scary for you to make. You can't let go. It's hard for you to let go. And even people you know who have gone, it's still hard for you to let go. They're still a very big part of your thinking and caring and feeling. Then the next day it told you, hey, it's okay to let go. You will live to tell about it. But it is a scary feeling to let go of anything. I know people who stay places in spite of how they feel, because letting go feels worse than staying. Oh, well, you know, that's the way things are. Oh, you know, life doesn't give you what you want all the time. Oh, you know, you just got to put up and shut up. Oh, it's okay. I can handle it. Well, it feels better than telling the truth about how I feel, and I really don't want to be where I'm at right now, whether it's work or with a friend or with family or whoever it is. I don't really want to be there, but I'm here because that's just the way things are. Think about that. Take a look at what's in your life. Because you continued to see the bodies everywhere up on the ceiling and yelled for them to go and they disappeared. It's just letting you know that all you have to do is make a decision. And whatever puts pressure on you, whatever is stressing you to a level that makes you think to this level, that you need to grow on. You need to grow on. Think about that. You know, when we say go on, it sounds so cold and so harsh, and we're like, you know, because we want to let everyone know we're not happy, and that's why we're going on. But in truth, you're just growing on. The language that we use is so brutal sometimes because it hurts somebody in its path. And the next day, your dream that had you above water perspective, now you rose above that. You screamed out, you yelled out your fear of giving yourself permission to take the next steps that are actually really important for you to take. They're your next steps. Think about whatever's going on in your life. It's affecting you. But you, again, lived to tell about it. You weren't scared. You were able to just go back to sleep. But you're crossing a threshold. It's a pretty big one. Because usually in energy, things match. And for that to have affected you that much, it wanted to get your attention. And it did. It actually did a pretty good job of getting your attention. Very few times do you wake up from a dream because it's so real that you wake up affected. It happened to me once. And I dreamed that my dad came and told me my mom died. He basically said, your mom died. He was like really happy about it because I guess he was going to see her in the dream. And I realized, you know, my dad died suddenly and he was gone. And then, you know, my mom, when he told me that, my mom was wearing something white, like white linen-y stuff, just kind of wrapped around her. And she was walking far away from us in the dream. But there was something very real about that dream, and I started to cry, and I kept going, no, Dad, you died, not Mom too. Not Mom too. Mom didn't die. Mom's still alive, and I'm arguing with him in my dream. And I go, she can't die without us saying goodbye. We couldn't say goodbye to you. And I was bawling. My whole face was wet. When I woke up, I was physically really crying because I couldn't handle losing my mom too, which eventually I had to handle. But 2 weeks later, she ended up having a brain aneurysm. So, you know, sometimes these dreams are like, you know, wake up, wake up. But he prepared me in a way. But it was not an easy preparation. It wasn't any easier than when it happened. But when it happened, I felt like he was waiting for her. I knew he was waiting for her because of the dream. I knew she missed him. I knew she passed because of him. I knew she just didn't like life without him. He was her life in so many ways. Dreams are wake up. Like, pay attention. The bell keeps ringing and no one's heard it. So it rang really hard this time. And it just wants you to know. So, you know, take a look. What's been stressing you and what can you grow through? And see what happens. The next dream I have from a young boy. And he came and he asked me about it. And, you know, he's still in that age where, you know, you start liking girls and don't. And I was joking one day that, well, I do a show about dreams and whatever. And he got me alone and he said to me, I keep dreaming about this girl. And I said, really, who? And he goes, one of my sister's friends. And I go, oh, wow. And he goes, well, I see her all the time. She's always at our house playing with my sister. And I said, okay. And he said, and I always dream about her. Does it mean she likes me? Instead of him thinking he liked her or he enjoyed her company, he thought that when he dreams, that it's because the other person wants to talk to him and came to him through his dream, which is kind of an interesting perspective because when you're a kid, and, you know, he's not a baby. He's, you know, in his early teens. But he thought he'd give me a try because, you know, we were kind of joking and talking about my show. And a lot of people joke about my show, especially if they don't hear it. And then when they hear it, they're like, oh, my God, that was like me and you having a conversation. And, oh, you sound the same on radio. And I get hearing all these things. And that was one of those conversations. So with him, it was he was so innocent and so fresh in his perspective that I asked him more questions, and I said, well, what were you doing in your dream? He said, oh, we were playing. And I said, like, what kind of playing? Because we were playing in a field with a ball, like when you do soccer and you're just kicking a ball. And we just kept kicking the ball back and forth to each other and laughing. And so I said, well, were you happy in your dream? Well, yeah, I was really happy in my dream because she came to see me. And I said, well, do you like her? And he goes, well, it made me think about her differently. Because now I think I do like her because I think she likes me. And I thought, wow, what if people knew when you dreamed about them? You know, what if people knew? And I had to tell him, you know, she probably doesn't know that she dreamed about you. But you probably have feelings and you probably picked up on something from her, whether she just really realized you were just this great guy, this great kid that she likes to come and see, that she enjoys coming to your house and seeing you as much as she does your sister. Maybe she likes joking with you or something like that. But, you know, it just gives you attention to someone you probably didn't pay attention to in that way. But you also got to feel what it feels like when you think somebody likes you. And maybe you're getting ready for, you know, that part of your life, that door to open. And it just opened with this girl. And, you know, the disappointment, if I could just tell you, of his face when I had to say, you know, I don't think she knows you dreamed about her, but I'm sure she has feelings. Otherwise, you wouldn't have picked up on them. But you can never really assume that because you dream, somebody loves you, that in real life they love you. And then you go to them and it's like, you know, throwing cold water on them. They're like, what are you talking about? And they say, but I had a dream and it was so real. Well, let's think about that. So it's kind of an interesting thing. But when we have dreams that are really, really real and we remember all the details, the messages that come from them, just always think, like, let's say you don't have this show to write into or someone to talk to, is that it needs to get, it's trying hard to get your attention. It needs to get your attention. Because we don't remember all of our dreams. I have some of my friends tell me, oh, I remembered bits and pieces of my dream, and I don't want to tell you because you'll analyze it on your show. And I go, oh, so you listen to my show. I found out a lot more people listened than I thought. My dream was just to talk about this every day. But before I did the radio show, before I got inundated with emails and didn't know how to answer everyone, and I always wanted to take care of everyone, but before all of that, I used to have dreams about where I would be taking this, where I would be going, how I would be getting there. And the ways always involved, believe it or not, and I don't know why, but I was always on Oprah over and over again. And so I thought that I should be on Oprah, that I had to be on Oprah, and I actually tried, but I knew the world wasn't ready for me yet. I'm not a big sell. I'm not a hard sell. I'm very gentle, and I was very protective of this information or the way it gets put out in the world. And I had some serious, like, you know, big dreams, in my sleep over this in the beginning, because Christ was, you know, brand new to me. And that involvement showed me the bridge between our dreams and what happens in our lives. And that's why reading Eliana's dream, I'm like, hey, wake up call. That's a bell ringing. And it's ringing. It's like one of those big bells in a lighthouse. It's just going and going to pay attention to what goes on in your life. And after a while, I couldn't tell the difference between a dream and a vision because I was having a lot of them and I was remembering them. And right now, I'm not remembering my dreams so readily. But I'm working harder on the outside. But I also know in my heart, for whatever reason, that it wasn't time for me before. I see Liam wrote, I think Oprah would absolutely love you. Probably she would if I met her, if it was meant for me to meet her. But I used to care. But before Oprah, I wanted to meet Maya Angelou. And I did dream I met her. And then she died. And somebody gave me her phone number a year prior to that, and I never called her. And I don't know why I didn't. I knew she doesn't fly, and I would have to go there, and I never had the money and all of this. So it was always one of those things. But now things have changed. There's a different energy, because I said to God, and the day I got in the car accident before I slept at night, it was December 9th, and I said, you know, I wrote down 3 wishes. And I know it sounds funny and I sound like I'm 5 years old, but I made Christmas wishes. I've never done it before. I was watching a program on television. And the only reason why I could sit there that long is I didn't know it yet, but I had a concussion and I just didn't want to move. And I wasn't in pain of any kind. I just didn't want to move. I was tired. And I sat on the couch and I'm watching this show, and it was so magical about Christmas wishes. It was one of those Hallmark, really fluffy shows, and my kids make fun of me for watching them, but I love them because I know they're going to end well. And what happened was I made 3 wishes. I made one for my son, one for my daughter, one for me. And I actually typed them out on my computer after I watched the show, and I went to bed. And you know something? Within 2 months of time, literally 2 full months of time, maybe, say, by the end of February, so maybe 2.5 months of time, everything I asked for happened. I still can't believe it. If I didn't type it in there, and when I go back and read it, every time I do, I remember that our dreams come true. I meant it with everything I had in me. I just knew that there were certain things we needed because we outgrew. We didn't push away our lives before that. But that accident got my attention, down to the mother and the daughter lying about what happened because they were so short-sighted that they got what they needed. They played victim, they went to the doctors, they hired a lawyer, they want to get whatever they can, and that money will probably disappear in a few months after they get it. I mean, it was not a big accident at all. And the man told me, he said, you know, people can try to do things, but they have averages now of what kind of damage happens, and, you know, they've seen it all over the place. But I got to see that short-sightedness. And I keep the card the police gave me with the police report that I never even wanted to get because I found out from the insurance that they lied after they told me they were going to tell the truth. So they even lied to me about telling the truth, which I thought was interesting, but now I know why. And that accident was the best day of my life for that year, for last year, for 2017. Day I had all year, because that day ended an era of my life. And I did start having dreams, and I did start seeing where I was going. And I knew in my heart that everything had changed. I knew that day. There were things that I was thinking coming home that I acted on right after I got home. Had I waited a day, I might have not done that. But there was some push in me. And even until now, I feel like somebody's pushing me from the back forward. I feel like that energy's moving quickly. And whatever's happened in your lives lately, if you have a feeling or you have a dream that feels bigger than life, we can grow to that bigness. We have it in us. We have it in us. The capability of us hasn't, after that accident, I don't feel, has been tapped into fully. And so Liam writes in the chat, like, when you got meningitis, do you know how to flip a negative and turn it around? Yeah, actually I did. That, when I got meningitis, that ended up being one of the best times of my life as well. And especially when I look back at it, even though it was scary and I didn't think of it that way, but it forced me to stay home and sleep a lot. But that's what prepared me. And then when I met and married Sterling and he had leukemia, but if he didn't get stuck in bed for all that time, we wouldn't have the books. It's like he had a job and he was going to do it and he did it whether he could do it or not. It's interesting that life isn't even as vivid as some of the dreams we have that we remember. But there's a definite connection. We're not separated from our dreams. Our dreams have greater possibility in them because there are no boundaries and there are no limits. Today, you take just 10 minutes, just 10 minutes of your life, which is nothing in terms of time considering how much time we have in life, and write down somewhere what you really, really want to see happen in your life. It's so poignant when you actually write it down and think it through. Not just, I want this, but what will I be like when I have it? What will I do with what I want? What does it mean to me? Does it mean to me? Why is it important to me? Why am I drawn to that? I meet people who you go to their home and you love their home and they go, oh, I want a bigger house. And I think, enjoy this one while you're there. Enjoy this one while you are there. It's beautiful. I walked in, I felt right at home. Why don't you like it? Oh, well, it's too small. The rooms are too... And I'm listening to all this stuff, and I'm thinking, man, if you cleaned it out, not clean because it's not clean, but got rid of some of the stuff, you'd probably feel like you have that room. Not that you should stay. If you want a bigger house, get one. But, you know, let's enjoy where we're at. Because if we don't enjoy where we're at today, I don't care what we get tomorrow, we're not going to enjoy that either. And I know we say be in the moment, and sometimes when people say that, I'm like, ah, because we don't have a map of how to be in the moment. We're all living for the next bill or for the next thing we need to do. But really scale back and say, okay, this is where I'm at today. This is where I'm at right now. What do I want to see my life experience? I want to see my life experience. Instead of thinking, what do I want? I want. What do I want to see my life experience? And your life will find a way to do that. It will find a way. It has time and time again in my life. I see Liam wrote in the chat, and seeing your first husband's behavior is beneficial to your growth towards this. Your life is full or turning negatives around. It's always been, because there actually, and I'm not being over-optimistic to say this, but there are no negatives unless you decide that they are. But if you see the lesson in it, you don't have to repeat it. You guys, I'm already done for today. I can't believe it. I feel like I could just talk all day. I love you guys so very much. I will see you tomorrow on Friday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.